Well, not, well, it didn't come at a good time because we're still trying to win a game, and we played quite well in the game against Everton. So we felt that momentum was with us as far as the performance was concerned. And we just want to get back on the horse this weekend and try to have a similar performance, but a little bit more concentrated on our defending to make sure we get a result.
After those five consecutive defeats, so what's the belief level on the squad?
That's been good, been fantastic. You wouldn't believe that we were where we are, so to speak. But you know, tension obviously mounts when you're in a situation that we're in. And I don't think the players could have acted more professionally than they have done in training and around the place. And I don't think they could have given much more in the games. You know, obviously, you know those little bits of quality when it comes to defending and obviously taking our chances haven't been there. We're hoping to change that this weekend.
Bound to be lots of twists and turns, especially at this stage. With their games to go, what do you think it will take? How many points now do you see?
Well, I don't know really, because obviously I think it will be very different to the past. I think it will be a low number this year, but we're not really thinking about that. As soon as we get our first win and start to create a bit of forward momentum, I think that you know, we'll do well. But at the moment, it's just hasn't been going our way in front of goal at both ends. And you know, that's something that we need to take charge of ourselves. You know, we realise that we haven't had those fine bits of quality when it really counted, and you know, this weekend we start again with a new challenge and a new mindset.
It's always that 40-point magic number that's talked about often. Do you think it might be less than that then?
I'm hoping it's going to be less. I'm hoping.
Given the opposition and where they are, how crucial are the next two games? And is it a case of must not lose and perhaps 4 to 6 points you need from these two games?
I think we do. I think we do need that. We do. You know, if we can get 4 to 6 points, that'd be brilliant. I mean, you know, like you said, it has been five consecutive defeats. So I think, for morale-wise, trying to get any sort of win or any sort of positive result will be good.
I want to talk about one of your players, Mauro Zárate.
Mm-hmm.
Is he fit and available, and is he still got a role to play for you this season?
No, he's not fit and available. As far as I know, he's having treatment back at his parent club, and if he becomes fit, he'll be in consideration.
Do you think it affected him at all, what happened on deadline day, that QPR were willing to let him go back to West Ham?
I didn't see any noticeable change. I wasn't involved in that, so I don't know.
Chris, I must just ask, I spoke to Les Ferdinand last week. Mm-hmm. He talked about the being covert racism existing in football. Mm-hmm. With regard to the appointment of black managers.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you stand on that? Does he have a point? Do you agree with him?
Yeah, I agree. But because I'm sitting here, I'm not going to now change my views of you know, many, many years. I mean, the fact that we're still at this stage of the game highlighting that I'm the only black Premier League manager shows that it's not the norm to have people from ethnic minorities in this position. So until this becomes normal and it's not highlighted in such a spectacular fashion, that racism will be evident.
Following on from that, I mean, John Barnes talked about it earlier on this week as well. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that black managers aren't getting the opportunities that white managers are getting?
Yeah, well, I've been no... it's been no secret that I've said that in the past. I mean, and obviously I'm in a very fortunate position to be the manager of QPR, but I would hope that people wouldn't look at that as a token gesture. You know, I think I've earned my stripes to be in this position. And I think that there are other people that are probably more talented or better suited in some respects from a profile point of view, as there have been many white managers that have got jobs based on their profile and playing experience and other things like that. And I do think that there are people that probably should have had jobs of this magnitude. And it shows that there is covert racism in the game.
Work out for you here. Do you fear that your chances will be limited afterwards?
I think if it doesn't work out for me here, I think that as any sort of manager, any manager of any race, I think that you're always in a position where it's going to be difficult to get another job, because when you get sacked, you don't always walk straight into another job. So I think, you know, we left Tottenham and I was 7 months out of work. So I think that's always going to be difficult as a manager. As a black man, I think it's always going to be difficult anyway. So I don't think it's going to be solely based on the fact of my ethnicity, why I get a job or why not. I think the problems that I've had in the past are still going to be there. And I think the problems of managers coming straight back into jobs are still going to be there. So it's two separate issues, really. But we're going to win every game and I'm going to keep the job. So, you know.
Les did mention that potentially a Rooney rule in some shape or form could work in this country. Where do you stand on that?
I think the Rooney rule is it's an important factor as regards that there's an awareness. There's an awareness that something has to be done to affect the way that people think in boardrooms. Now, I'm not just talking about race, I'm talking about gender, I'm talking about homophobia, I'm talking about many other issues that people talk about, general equal opportunities. And I think that maybe there needs to be some more awareness in the game of different factors that affect why people get the jobs or not.
Just finally from me, Chris, Greg Dyke has talked about changing the rules for homegrown players, raising the number in a squad from 8 to 12. Is that something you'd back? Is that something you'd like to see?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see that more from the fact that we do want to get English players playing as much as possible. I do think that there are, you know, some clubs that have done well for the English game by playing English players. It doesn't guarantee you that the national team is going to be any better than it is. But what it will do, it will allow the academy systems to at least be worth their while by having pathways for players to go and play in their country of origin. I think that increasing the numbers will certainly help the academy system, and it will certainly help English players to have some sort of positive view on their futures. Because at the moment, in many situations, you know, as soon as you get your first or second year pro contract, there's generally no pathway into the next step, because I do believe that we do import players from abroad that we could easily produce here. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have foreign players, because they've done fantastic for the English game, but I think that the top end players have pulled the standard up, no end. Top end managers have pulled the standard up, no end. But it's the mediocrity that I think really frustrates the English coach and the English player.
Thank you.
Yes. I mean, do you think someone like Charlie Austin, I mean, had he, you know, we know his background, he's come from non-league, would he even, like, maybe not be considered against somebody who come from, say, Spain or Italy in this sort of environment?
Well, I think we've seen that happens, don't we? And we've seen it happen, you know, at many a big club, where some English players have pushed themselves forward, and people have looked at players that cost a lot of money, been given a lot of time, and not produced. And we've seen that in all over the game, really. I mean, Charlie Austin, you know, he does the thing that. The uncoachable thing, really. He scores goals, so I think that always has its place ahead of anything else.
I'm just going back to where you are at the moment. I mean, mm-hmm. Do you almost take confidence from the fact that despite the run of results you've had, you are still in touch, and if you can get a win this weekend, it can really push you back?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we were very fortunate that the weekend we played the Crystal Palace, which, you know, we didn't particularly do ourselves justice in that game. That the other results were in our favour. Now, the last thing you want to be doing is worrying about what other teams are doing. But I think as the games dwindle away, you know, unfortunately, you do have to have that little look at the results on a Saturday afternoon.
And you almost can you look beyond this, these four, two games in 4 days and look at the games coming up?
No. Can't really do that. You know, it'd be different if we were, you know, at maybe 32 points, you can start planning and resting people and stuff like that. But I think at the moment, you have to try to win the next game as best you can. And I believe that we've got the capacity to do it.
Chris, how unlucky was Charlie not to make you move
the squad? Charlie's very, very unlucky, but, you know, it's a very prestigious thing to be called up for England, you know. As much as we see people coming in and out of the squad, you know there aren't many people in their life that get called up for such an honour. So I think if, you know, Charlie keeps doing what he's doing and keeps putting in the effort that he's shown this season and scoring the goals, you know, it's only a matter of time before he gets picked.
And he went on TV, your soccer for a couple of days after it. He didn't seem to have any effect on him. Have you noticed anything that you spoke to him specifically about it?
No, I haven't. You know, I mean, obviously when, you know, there's been a lot of talk about him getting in the squad, you know, that people have offered their condolences, you know, but people know that he's a quality player and a quality person, and the likelihood is that at some stage he'll be called into the squad.
Leroy Fair and Richard Dunn, have they managed to get anywhere back to first team fitness with the break?
They've worked extremely hard, the two lads, and the medical staff have been really, really good with them. And we're hoping that, you know, within the next week to 2 weeks, that, you know, one of them, maybe both of them, will be ready for consideration.
After Everton, you said that confidence might well be low amongst the players and themselves. You also said it's quite difficult to raise that without getting results. Have you been able to do anything in this spare week, and have you been able to see any improvements?
Well, as far as improvement is concerned, I would say that we have performed well.
No, like I said,
in confidence. I mean, if you go around the place, there's no doom and gloom here at the moment. And I think that's one of the things that we've worked with the staff, everybody around, to make sure that we try and keep everything upbeat as possible. Because once you start putting the doom and gloom in, then you know, it does have a major effect on the confidence. And what we want is high energy performance in these next three games, and then obviously make sure that we take our chances, which we didn't do against Everton, and you know, battle right till the end, because we are letting a lot of late goals in, which is, you know, really put us in this dire position.
I must ask, are you aware of the exchanges between Carl Henry and Stan Collymore on Twitter this week?
Vaguely. I'm not on Twitter, so, you know, I'm an old man. I don't even know what it's about, really. So I'm not really on it. I heard something briefly about it, but no, I'm not aware of the ins and outs of it, so to speak.
Your previous sister, Harry Redick, again, was very much the same one. He wasn't really interested in it, and understandably, I'm sure you've got enough on your plate. But because it plays such a big role in the game now, perhaps unfortunately, the players in Rio has been banned for something in the past. Do you have to become sort of more
okay
with it?
No, I totally agree with you. You can't be in the dark ages. I totally agree. I'm aware it exists, and but I'm not on it. And the only way that I really find out about it is through gossip, really. So no, I do agree. You need to be aware of the modern technology and stuff like that. But I was only aware that there was some sort of, is it political discrepancies between the two of them earlier in the week?